This side of the tape is to give you instructions in operating or performing the Liturgy of the Holy Grail. The attunement tape that you have on side A of this tape can be also used for a detailed attunement for full moon meditation or empowerment. However, if you use it for that purpose, any purpose other than initiation, you must dissolve the mandala that you have created before you do your other work. This is not true in the initiation. In the initiation, the mandala is dissolved in the liturgy. But for any other attunement, or if you use this as any kind of a group attunement, when the attunement is over, you must dissolve the mandala. And that is done very simply. I will give you the dissolution of the mandala. At the end of the tape, you say, I am aware of myself sitting upon the altar throne at the center of the mandala temple as the hosts of beings around me become transparent and disappear from view. I stand and walk to the east sanctuary and retrace my steps counterclockwise to the northern, western, and southern sanctuaries, which now appear to be empty. Finally, I return to the eastern portico where I see the golden bridge leading over the lake to the shore. I cross the lake and leave the temple precincts, then turn for one last view. The water shimmers and the temple begins to grow crystalline and transparent. White light fills my eyes until I can no longer distinguish any shape or form. And then the light seems to contract into a sphere that finally becomes only a gleaming pinpoint of light, which descends into the space before my heart and disappears from view. Now, the Liturgy of the Holy Grail is done properly by a Grail priestess or priest, and best by a combination of a priest and priestess. But the Liturgy of the Holy Grail can be done by anyone authorized, and you are authorized as subdeacons of the home temple priesthood. I strongly advise anyone who is undergoing initiation to also concurrently involve themselves in priesthood studies with the home temple priesthood, which can be found at http://www.hometemple.org. And to do those studies concurrently means that by the time you have finished the first order work, you will have been qualified to be ordained to the priesthood. And this will be a very special priesthood because it will be the Grail priesthood. The Temple of the Holy Grail training is something that is used just for the bishops of the home temple priesthood. But for those who come in through the Temple of the Holy Grail, they reach what is called the Grail priesthood by doing concurrent studies at the same time. Now, there's a great deal that can be said and can be taught and needs to be learned about the work of priesthood and about the work of this particular liturgy. But I'm going to just give you bit by bit what you need in order to do the empowerments. Now, if you open your liturgy on your WESAC Initiation and First Empowerment Handbook, it's on page 6, the Liturgy of the Holy Grail. The liturgy can be done silently by simply saying the words and doing the visualizations mentally, as long as you have, of course, the altar and the paraphernalia. You'll need an altar facing east. On the east wall, you should have positioned the image from the Shroud of Turin, the face of the Master Jesus, Mar Yeshua. And beneath that, you should also position for WESAC initiation the Shambhala Moon Temple Mandala. That should be visible for you for this work. You place the chalice, which is your silver cup that you've used for scrying in your initiatic vigil, and something that you've gotten to serve as a paten to hold the pre-consecrated host, and you'll need to have your chalice not filled with pomegranate or grape juice, but there'll be, need to be another cruet or container that holds that, which will become consecrated as sacrament. And inside of your grail cup, you need to have fashioned some kind of a holder or bought some kind of a holder for a candle that will allow you to place the candle inside the cup so that you have the flaming chalice. You will later take the candlestick that's holding the candle out of the cup and place it on the altar when you are ready to do the consecration. Now, the first thing you do is you purify the area with an asperges once it is all set up. Now, I should say that the Temple of the Holy Grail is a white-robed lodge, and people have always in the past been required to have a white robe, because when people work in groups, and a lot of this temple work in the past has been done in groups, the best and most effective and most powerful way for you to work and to operate theurgically is stark naked. That's without any clothes on at all, because then you have nothing interfering with your auric egg. This, of course, is not practical in groups, and so the next thing that people do when people work in groups is they have white robes, but they wear the white robes over virtually naked bodies. That is, they might have some underclothing, and of course, bare feet. You must have bare feet for this kind of work. If it's very, very cold, you can wear socks or stockings. But if you're going to be working as you will be by yourself, you don't need to have a white robe. You can just do it very unclad. You can do it naked or with just some undergarments on, and that is the most powerful thing and the most authentic thing you can do. Or you can invest in a white robe, which you can get at church supply places and things for $50 or something like that. There are some very nice robes. We recommend that you get something that does not need to be just made of natural animal fibers. In fact, it's preferable that your white robe be made of some kind of synthetic, because that's related to the mineral family, and that is actually a better substance for you to have in your aura to do this kind of work. But white it should be, definitely white. Or, as I say, you can do this work naked or nearly naked. That is very powerful and effective. So you begin with an asperges. You want to clean and cleanse the area. You have consecrated water. You've consecrated the water by holding your left hand over your monadic heart center. The monadic heart center is not where your physical heart is. It's midway between the Adam's apple and the solar plexus. And at that point, you touch your first three fingers, thumb and two fingers together. The others can go out. And you hold it like a tent over your monadic heart center. And then with your right hand, with just the thumb and the first finger extended, the others folded in, you can then qualify energy, send energy, transmit energy of blessing from your heart. And you do that by visualizing a golden radiance that comes out of your heart, comes into the receptive left hand, and is projected out through the projective right hand. And it doesn't matter whether you're left or right-handed. This is the way you do it. Now, what you will do in this consciousness is you will take the pre-consecrated host, and just touch it to some water that you have in a special vial. And you say, in the name of the Master Jesus Christ, I consecrate you. Words to that effect. Amen, amen, amen. And now you have consecrated water. You have holy water. And this is what you're going to use for the asperges, for the cleansing of the area, to basically sweeten the astral environment so that you can do sacred work without having negative influences. And the way you do this is you begin at the altar, and you always move in the clockwise or sunwise direction once you start creating the mandala of the altar and of the worship area. And you start with a perimeter, a circle that you're going to draw. And you walk that circle. And from within that circle, you sprinkle. You can use your fingers and you can just dip a little into the water and flick the water outward in an outward direction. And you can go ahead and the directions say you make an asperges or sprinkling of the entire area with consecrated water ending in the east with an outer circle intended to define the perimeter of worship. And you recite, in the name of Christ Melchizedek, be ye cleansed and consecrated for worship. Now, the best way to do this is to make three complete circumambulations in the clockwise direction, ending at the altar. And then when you come to the altar, you stand facing the east, and you're going to be on the eastern side of the altar. And you are in what is called here demiurgical mudra. And that what that means is that you have your left hand over your heart, as we've described before. Your right hand is extended. And in your directions for mudras, this also is described as the blessing mudra. It's not portrayed or pictured. But basically, your hand is extended at about 45 degrees out and 45 degrees up. So it's slightly forward, again with the thumb and the first finger pointing and the others folded in. And that is how you'll make a blessing, an extend blessing. And that is also called demiurgical mudra because it's the mudra you use for creating and establishing parameters. So you stand on the eastern side of the altar facing east, in this mudra, and you make one complete turn counterclockwise while intoning Aum. And an Aum is Aum. And you hold the closed mouth position, which means that the sound is coming out your nose, as long as you've made the open mouth position. So you hold the M as long as you hold the AU, and you do it harmonically. You can hear the harmonics coming down. Now, when you have completed this, you've completed the asperges or cleansing of the area. Now you stand and light your candle, which will be in your in the actual chalice or cup that you're using. And if you're using any kind of incense or essential oils or anything, that's the time you light it then. Now, when you light the candle, you always consecrate the lighting of the fire of the altar of the candle. You may say or intone, "Come, thou great light, dispel the shadows and the gloom." You don't have to do all the rest of it. It just happens to be a poem that was channeled by my teacher, Mother Jenny. So I usually say, "Come, thou great light, dispel the shadows and the gloom." Now, I have noted for you that you need to have a bowl or bell or some way of producing a tone. The tone will help and guide you, especially if you're going to sing on a tone. For the Liturgy of the Holy Grail, all the basic intoning is done on the F sharp, which is the tone of the Christ. However, some people's voices are not suited for that, and so you can do it on an E or an A, and those are tones that very often you can get little tone bars for and things. If you have a Tibetan bowl or you have some other kind of thing you can use, that can guide you for a tone, that would be important. But also you sound the tone at certain points of the liturgy as well. And that is symbolized by a thick, bold X, as it says on page 7. Now, you'll notice on page 7 there is a thing called the preparation of the heart, which is actually done usually as a visualization for a group. But you'll do the same visualization for yourself. And in this, you visualize your heart and the energy of your heart center. You descend into that energy. You visualize your heart as a flame and the whole heart area as a chalice. And you raise it up to eye level. You look through it. You dissolve the chalice, and then the heart flame moves forward to the altar, and it becomes and merges one with the flame that you have in your candle on the altar. But now you're going to visualize that flame as much more than just a physical fire. It's going to become the center focus for an influx of all the hearts of all beings, great and small, visible and invisible, hierarchy down to the smallest bits of sentient being that there are, all streaming forth to this altar and combining at the center. And as you look at the visualization, this then becomes your representation of the one ever-living radiant heart of the universe, the eternal heart of God, which is the flame of our altar. And then, visualizing this, you inhale through the nostrils with your eyes fixed upon this flame, not necessarily the physical flame, but the golden spherical flame that you have built upon the altar. And then you exhale through the mouth, ending in hum. And then you have preserved, rather cleansed and prepared yourself to go forward with this work. And so this begins with the purification of the heart and the tone of the purification of the heart. Now you will notice at the bottom of page 17 are the instructions for the grail rites of the Wesak initiation. Besides the things you would normally need for celebrating the liturgy, you need a length of violet yarn. It needs to be a yarn that will burn without making noxious fumes, preferably not a synthetic yarn, like a wool yarn or something. Violet is not a color that is described in stores. They very often have other names for it, but you know what the color violet is, and that is the color you want to use. What you're going to do with that is you're going to measure it out. It'll be almost 4 feet long. It'll be as wide as both your arms can stretch, at least that long. And it'll be cut. And what you will do is you will have placed that at the very beginning in the chalice before any sacrament is poured in and before it's consecrated, so that it will be soaking up the sacrament in the chalice. And then when you do the grail rites, one of the things you will do is you will draw that yarn out of the chalice and you'll squeeze it between your fingers so that the sacrament falls back into the chalice. And it is now in the consecrated sacrament. You do this after it's consecrated. And then you'll put it in a special place for it to dry, because you're going to use that for your necklace practices. Eventually, after 2 weeks of that, you're going to do the same kind of ritual again with the liturgy of the Holy Grail, and you're going to soak up and consecrate about a 12-inch piece of yarn, and that, by that time, your necklace will be filled with 14 or 15 knots, 15 loops, and you're going to thread through all those loops this other thread, and then you're going to use that. You're going to pierce all these loops with the consecrated thread, and then you're going to tie it all up and wind it into a very tight ball and tie it with the two ends of this, and so it's a very tight little ball. And that will be worn around your neck with your talisman. Now, I have to say something about the talisman. This is terribly important. Your temple talisman has been made over many years through special telluric arts, and it is a collection of soil taken from 7 inches below the ground in sacred places all over the world, and with sacred springs and spring water taken from all over the world over many years. And at each of these places there have been a communication with the elemental beings that are native to these areas, and the wisest of them have come in to be part of the Temple of Gregor and of their own free will to cooperate with the work of the Temple of the Holy Grail. The talisman is a very, very, very powerful thing. You don't want to get it wet. You don't want to let it be stepped on or anything like that. You wear it in a pouch over your monadic heart center. You're going to have to find a pouch and cut a length of string, just the right length, so it will hang over your monadic heart center. You will wear this talisman when you do any kind of grail rites and when you do this ritual, but only at those times. And then you take it off and you keep it in your silver chalice or some sacred place like that. And Also, after you've gone 2 weeks into the necklace technique, you will have a little ball of yarn all wrapped up that you will also put into the pouch with your talisman, and you will wear when you do your attunement. Now, you wear the talisman every morning when you do your morning attunement and meditation, and you do it every time you do an empowerment, and you do it every time you're celebrating the Liturgy of the Holy Grail, and you do it, it's worn just for those special occasions. You will be wearing the talisman with the rolled up necklace for 2 weeks leading up to the full moon, and you can read the directions about that. Now, another thing you will need is that for the initiation, you don't wear the talisman. Your talisman is not activated until by initiation it's activated. You will read about what you do with it, but you place the temple talisman, or the sacred round as we know it, on the paten in a pouch with everything cut to the proper length so that it will lie over your monadic heart center when you put it on. And so you put that on the paten with the pre-consecrated host. You have your attunement tape ready to play and the Wesak mandala placed under into a position, I suggest, below the picture of the Master Jesus. And you will start this whole process about an hour before the exact time of the full moon. And you need to have a watch so you can time yourself, because the reception of the full moon and the activation of your talisman depends upon these time cycles. Now, you will find on page 18 the Shambhala Moon Temple Mandala. You will also find a reproduction of the face of the Master Jesus at the very front of this manual. About 10 minutes before the time of the full moon, now you have done your attunement, you have done the liturgy up to the Grail Rites, and you now have an altar with consecrated elements. And you've done this, and you still have about 10 or 12 minutes before the exact time of the full moon. So you can meditate until about 10 minutes before that time in the presence of the consecrated elements. And then about 10 minutes before that time, you stand and you elevate the sacred round or the temple talisman, which you have in the paten, and which you have properly installed in a pouch and measured in such a way that it works. And you intone. And when you do sacred work, you do not talk. Lots of parts of the liturgy, you just speak. But when you are speaking in a sacred way to aloud, you intone it. And you say, "By the authority of Grail Master, Grail Mother, and the egregor of this temple, I receive the temple talisman for the divine work of the First Order." You don't just speak it, you intone it. You hold it to your monadic heart center. You visualize it enveloped in a golden radiance of blessing from your heart, and then you hang it around your neck such that it rests upon your monadic heart center, and you sit and meditate on the holy white light of Christ within, the holy Iliaster. Now, this is an initiatic meditation, and this meditation, which you want to begin at least 7 minutes before the exact time of the moon, is, and you want to continue until about 7 minutes after, this meditation is the place in which you are going to be received, your talisman is going to be activated, and you will be receive the initiation, the rod of initiation. So you sit and meditate, and you must by this time have learned how to evoke the white light, because this is done in the white light and through the power of that white light. So you stay focused on the holy Iliaster and don't allow your mind to wander or your imagination to be active. Keep attention on the white light, and when this operation is completed, about 7 minutes after, you will have received the rod of initiation directly from hierarchy. You stand up and you sound the Sanctus Bell or whatever you have and intone the Om and you give thanks. If you have a white robe, it's now been consecrated for temple work. And then you continue with the liturgy with the part that begins the communion that is known as the mystery of the chalice. So you say, "Take, eat, this is my body," etc., and you commune. You do take divine communion, and after you commune, you always sit in meditation and white light, and then you give thanks. So Now, after you have communed, you sound the bell again and remove the violet yarn from the chalice, and you draw it and squeeze it between your fingers, letting the excess drip back into the chalice and lay it upon a dry paper towel or something to continue drying, because you won't be able to start using it until it's dry, so you want to really dry it out. Now you complete the liturgy with the earthing of the Grail Sacrament and the final blessing. You keep the altar candle lighted, and then you should sit down and hear the cassette tape number 1 of the First Empowerment, which introduces the work of the First Empowerment. The necklace technique begins on that first evening, whatever the first evening is after the Wesak full moon. If the moon of Wesak is in the morning or late at night, then it'll be the next sunset, the next evening. And it continues every evening to the new moon, which happens in 2 weeks. So you have to read and follow the instructions for First Empowerment. The first part, the necklace technique, is done up to the time of the new moon, and then there is work to do there. And then the second part, the tripartite equester, is done from the new moon to the full moon. So you'll do the necklace practice every evening for 2 weeks, and you'll need to read very clearly and study the empowerment instruction and tapes and so on. Now, about half an hour before the exact time of the new moon comes in 2 weeks, you're going to perform the liturgy of the Holy Grail again, and you're going to have another violet yarn about 12 inches long placed in the chalice. And you're going to do the same thing as you've done before. After communion, you're going to wring it out and draw it out. But at this point, while it's still wet with all this, you now thread it onto a needle and you pierce all your loops. There will be 14 or 15 loops with this. Draw the ends together, tie the ends, and wind it into a tight ball and set it out to dry. And then you complete this. You do this all before the exact time of the new moon, and then you sit in meditation until the exact time of the new moon, and then you begin or initiate your equester, your tripartite equester practice, as it's described in the manual that you have. And you will then, after this, you will do the equester practice every morning as part of your morning meditation and attunement for 2 weeks until the full moon that comes up, which we call the full moon of Christ and humanity. Now, the actual First Empowerment is transmitted on the exact moment of the full moon of Christ and humanity, assuming you've done everything correctly and done the practices. There are 3 conditions for this in all empowerments. You have to have done all the practices, 1. 2, the Grail talisman must be worn properly at the time of the empowerment, and the Grail temple must be evoked as a sacred field of action by means of performing the liturgy of the Holy Grail. So you use the liturgy always to open the egregor of the temple. I want to, and then you have to read in detail what it is you do to receive that empowerment, which is in the manual about it. I want to remind you that empowerments are always received at the point in the liturgy entitled Grail Rites during an iliaster or white light meditation, usually sitting, and beginning at least 7 minutes before and lasting until 7 minutes after the exact moon time. And this could happen any time of the day or night, depending upon the moon. And I want to also remind you that all empowerments must be ripened, they must be developed, and they plant within you the authorization to develop them, but you're not fully empowered by receiving an empowerment. An empowerment is that which allows you to develop the empowerment. And so you must understand that the receiving of empowerment is like the receiving of a seed that you need to germinate and unfold.